Hey people, are you in the market for a new and cool pair of sunglasses? Well, today's episode is being sponsored by Retrospects at the Cosmopolitan Hotel of Las Vegas. I've been wearing sunglasses from Retrospects for almost 5 years now, and honestly, they're the best sunglasses on the planet. They do everything. They do restoration. They do prescription. They have all the modern day interpretations of the vintage stuff. They carry the vintage stuff that everybody wants. To get 10% off your first purchase, please email them at lasvegas@retrospects.com, and you can visit their website at www.retrospects.com. Okay, on with the show. On today's episode, I interview independent watchmaker Romain Gauthier. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. What's going on there, watch fans? I'm here with the man himself, Romain Gauthier. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Thank you. So happy to be here, to see you.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to meet you. And it's a pleasure and it's an honor. Last year, I wanted to meet Romain. We had a really lovely dinner last night at the Mandarin Oriental.
Absolutely.
And actually, I'm so glad I met you because I wanted to meet you last year. And I know that you had the intention of being there, but for whatever reason, it didn't work out. But never mind, I got to meet you last night. We had an amazing time. We're all very tired. We all got home really late. Do you want to kind of tell people about what you do and who you are and how you started in the watch industry?
With pleasure. With pleasure. So I was born in the Vallée de Joux.
This is a small valley with a big lake inside. AP is a brand which is in Le Brassu. You have Jaeger LeCoultre, you have Breguet, you have Blancpain. So that means you see all of my life I grew up with
watchmakers around you.
And seeing and that kind of watches and all of that. And I think it's why it gave me the possibility and the sensitivity for the design.
Okay.
And it's why I'm able to doing by myself the design of every watches for the movement parts, for everything. And it's a thing that, you know, if you see all of your life beautiful things, you don't realize that your head is printing about that.
Absolutely.
And you don't feel, but it's a thing that...
it's a part of you.
It's a part of me, absolutely. Yeah. And so I grew up there. I made my school there. My school was around also mechanical. After that, I started, you know, to produce parts of watches. And this is how I get the key, I can say, to doing my own movement.
Now, were they specific, or was it a whole movement, or was it a part of a movement?
No, 100% specific to my design and to my engineering. So it has been, I spent between 2002 and 2005, I spent 3 years for the engineering, the mathematics about the movement, the construction of in 3D and everything like that regarding the movement, the design, and also the manufacturing of the parts.
Now, was this for your brand specifically?
Yes.
You were developing?
Yeah.
Okay, and so before that, before developing that, did you did that also within the industry?
No.
You didn't do that within the industry?
No. Like I said, dedicated to produce parts of watches. It has been pinion, it has been wheels, it has been the screws, barrel, and things like that. So it's how I get the possibility, you know, to be able, because I'm an engineer. So by the fact to build, to manufacture, and the engineering side, I understood about how to do it. And you know, a watch is a small machine.
Yes, it is.
So when you understand that, and when you understand how the physics goes with the spiral, the balance, after that, it's a question of physics and mathematics.
Yes.
It's a machine. So it's why in 2002 I decided to start and to doing my own movement. And 2005 was the step for me to say, okay, you have your own caliber working, and so now the next step is to fit a case inside with.
Wow.
And I established the brand in 2005 for that reason. And the first presentation was in 2007. I was invited by Philippe Dufour, which is one of the most respected and marvelous watchmaker in the world.
100%. A lot of respect for Mr. Dufour.
Yeah, I'm so lucky to be close to him. And yes, so 2007 was the first presentation. And then 2010 with an evolution, so an HMS. I started with an hour minute, you know, because for many things, it's better to know to walk before to try to run.
Right.
And the basic things, you know, an hour minute is the base for every single
Absolutely.
Kind of complication 100%. In terms of watchmaking.
Yeah.
So for me, it was really important to stay before to do a chronograph, to do a QP, to do a custom talk or something like that. You know, it was important to understand and to know that you made the hurt of every kind of future complication that you will realize or think.
Is hours and minutes.
You made and you understood about that. So, and it's not every brand.
No, it's
who made that. So, apparently, it was something not so difficult to doing an hour minute. But it's not. In fact, it's not every brand who did that. Anyway, they say. But at the end, they mostly buy those kind of things. So, it does mean for the collectors, it appears like something exceptional, and by the relation with Philippe before, I took care a lot about the finishing. And collectors was really attracted and sensitive by the fact that I create my own movement with my name on it, and with the sense and the understanding about finishing.
That's amazing. So Mr. Dufour was instrumental in you sort of completing the process, because you had the whole engineering side down, right? So he finished it for you in a way. He mentally and physically helped you finish it.
Exactly. He influenced me and advised me about what I should add, the small tricks
details.
The details to try to reach the perfection.
And that's and in the business you're in, you know, being an independent watchmaker, boutique watchmaker, high-end watchmaker, those are the things that the collectors look for. And
absolutely. You know, what we do is a question of passion and understanding. You know, when you start to build your situation, the statue, the life that you have, the work and all of that, you can access with different level of product.
Yeah.
You know? And there is a certain level that you buy because it's famous and a lot of people has and you want to have. And this is normal. It's just a question of step by step.
Absolutely.
That. But when you start to understand and when you start to have a passion, after that you don't buy for the other one. You start to buy for you.
1,000,000%.
Because you understand about what it is. And what we do is exactly that. It's the next step. When you start to say, I will spend that amount of money. I know what it is. If the other one
it's
don't
like
know,
great art.
I don't care.
It's like great art.
Exactly.
You know, the Vacherons and the Patek's are the Picassos of the world, right? Or considered the Picassos of the world.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then the independents like yourself are the ones that are extremely exclusive that people are buying for themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. So our type of clients are really sensitive about that. And, you know, when we talk about exclusivity, or, for example, the haute horlogerie, what does it mean? What does it mean? Everybody is two words that everybody can use. It's not protect.
No, you know? It's not.
So it does mean, for me, at the level of we are.
And for all of those of you out there who don't know what horology means, it means high watchmaking.
Yes.
Essentially, exactly. It means high watchmaking.
Absolutely.
And every watch company uses that today. There's no IP on it. It's not protected. Every brand says they're all horology. So what Romain is talking about is that.
Absolutely, yeah.
But would you say, like, you know, with what you've developed, you know, in 2013 you won the GPHG award, which is huge.
Yes.
For the Logical One. That is incredible considering that your brand is so young. you know, for a complication, men's complication watch. That was the prize that you received for that. That had to be a massive milestone because you're not, I mean, you got that in 2013, so you weren't even 40, right? Or you just turned 40?
No. It was before. I'm 40 years old now, so...
You were 38?
Yeah, it was before.
That's amazing.
Yeah. No, it was a wonderful gift, you know. For me, it's a kind of accomplishment, you know. Those things proved to me that it was possible. And this is a thing that when I started in 2000 with my MBA and all of that, and with that dream inside me, it was a thing that I said, if you want to do something, you have to put the energy inside, and things could happen.
Sure.
But you have to move the things. If you wait, things happen, will never happen. So you have to go and to try. And, you know, for me, the really important things in life is to don't live with regrets.
Absolutely.
So if you have a dream, if you have things like that, you need to try. The worst thing is to think about that, I should try 10 years ago about that, but now it's too late. And
I should have, would have, could have.
Exactly.
All that BS.
Anyway, if it's difficult, but so it was my vision about that. And you know, when I received the prize, it's true, it was an accomplishment in the fact that I proved to myself that, yes, you were able to doing that, and collectors were waiting at that time complication because they knew me about hour minute second and the quality of the work that we made with my team, and with Logical it was the next step with the addition of complication. I took care a lot about the design, so it's why also the watch was selected not only. I know for the complication, also for the design of the watch and all of that. So it was I was very proud, and proud also for my team, because, you know, you start alone, and after that you have to build, because you cannot do everything.
It takes two hands to clap.
Yes.
So it's exactly the same. Yeah?
So I was really proud of my team, and that was a wonderful accomplishment. So from that time, you know, everything can happen, but this I got.
And that's amazing. And so I guess when you talk about hot horology, that's the ultimate accomplishment, right? Because everybody says they're at the highest, but this was a distinction that spoke for itself, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And how many pieces were made?
We do... this year we will be doing 50, 60 pieces. So it does mean still continue to be very exclusive and dedicate for watch collectors with understanding about and looking for real exclusivity and sense of details, quality, and finishing with another level.
Now, when you, like, you know, growing up and being influenced and seeing all of these watchmakers in Switzerland, as you mentioned, Vacheron and Jaeger LeCoultre and all of these brands, was it something where, because, like, you know, some people grow up with the industry around them and it's just the industry. But what initially interested you about watches specifically? Was it, you know, connecting like a guy connects with the pedal in a car? Is it connection between man and machine? Was it fluidity? Was it architecture? Was it engineering? Was it all of it? Like, what specifically got you into that? Because it's one thing to have something around you, but it's another thing to like it.
You know, I'm not a superficial person. And the fact that due to my background and where I was living, all of my life was interested about mechanism. For any kind of things, it will be the Walkman. I remember that we used it in the past,
yeah.
And all of that, to disassembly and see how it works and all of that. So during all of my life and my studies was also dedicated for that. So it does mean mechanism, machinery was always something that I appreciated.
So you were very curious.
Yes, and it does mean with watchmaking, I got that. I got that because, like I said to you, a watch is a small machine.
Yeah, it is.
And so interesting that machine has to give information and has to give real information. 1 + 1, it's 2. It's not 1.9.
Right.
So it's physically interesting. It's mathematically interesting. It's a machinery to build. You can play with design. You can play with colors. You can play with textures. So it's just wonderful to work with that kind of product. And what I really appreciate, you imagine that now for a lot of person, watch is a part of your life, in the sense that when you wake up in the morning, for a lot of people, it's like to put a shirt.
It's the first thing they look at,
the watch.
Right?
Exactly.
It's the first
thing
they
watch.
See.
Absolutely. So it's why I think for a lot of person, watch became a part of the dress. And something we don't need. A watch is not a necessary thing.
It's a luxury. It's not a necessity.
It's a luxury, and it's the things that printed in so many places, and people likes to wear a watch.
So would you say then, like, you know, and then on top of that, you know, having a confined space to work with, right, like a watch case. I mean, you can make whatever you want. It's your company. But, you know, you only have so much space to work in. So that in itself is a challenge, right?
Absolutely.
To how are we going to make this thing work?
Yeah.
With the complications in your head, right?
Yeah. That's the big difference with machineries.
Yep.
That you also have restriction about dimension for sure, but watchmaking is quite extreme, exactly. So, but physics is the same anyway. If it's big or small, you have differences about it's not static.
Yes.
You have dynamic.
Yeah.
But it's not dynamic, can really affect a lot about the physics. You know, watch has a long history about that. So today it's quite easy to find books in relation about physics and watchmaking. So if you open books, everything is inside.
Of course.
You just have to open.
You have to open it and read it. Now, what do you get inspired by today? Like, you know, what brands inspire you? What watch brands inspire you?
Audemars Piguet, Lange & Söhne. Brands also like Breguet. You know, I'm very open about watches, and I appreciate quite a lot. But I can say those three are maybe the major one who influenced me in terms of elegance, aesthetic,
design.
Yeah, design, and yeah. So
now I love the fact that on your watch, the 10th anniversary. This is also a big year for you. This marks the 10th anniversary of your company. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
The case of your watch doesn't have a crown, the 10th anniversary. The crown's on the back, which is very unique. So the watch can be worn on any hand, which is the first time I've ever seen that. You know, a lot of companies try and play with the crown. They try to put on the 12 or they try and put it on the 6.
Yes.
But you're completely crownless. And I think that's really unique. And I think it makes the watch more elegant and it makes the watch more versatile.
I agree, yeah.
What was the impetus behind that? Was that more of a conscious thing, or was that something that you felt you noticed and you realized that there was a need for it?
The thing is that when I started to design the first caliber, I started with the 2206 HM for HM 4-hour minute, was already in 2002. You see, so when I was thinking about the engineering, you know, when you have to build the things by yourself, you can think twice about how do you want to do.
Right.
Are you going to do like everybody? Is it the only one way? So you should maybe change the design or the engineering. So you have a free mind, a freedom
yep.
to say, you are going to do the parts by yourself, so think twice about that. And I was thinking about that. With a normal crown, you know, all of the movement is working 90 degrees opposite.
Right.
from the winding.
Right.
So I was thinking about why you don't simplify that kind of vision and put a crown with the same rotation than all of the watch, you see, in the same angle. So I was thinking about that, and it's how the thing started. And I really like the idea because it gave me the hour minute is a pure and balanced design with a symmetry.
Yep.
And I really like that because the crown unbalanced the watch.
Yeah.
So totally. It does mean, firstly, it was by an engineering point of view, and the second thing was I really like the fact of the design, the purity and balance. Yeah.
Imagine if you didn't like it. we wouldn't have that.
Yes.
do your watches? You don't have dates on your watches, right?
No.
Which I love. Thank you very much. I hate dates on watches. I think it's one of the most useless things. If you don't know the date, there's a problem, you know? And it also throws off the symmetry of the watch as well. That's another thing that throws the symmetry of the watch.
It's true, exactly, yeah.
So I'm so glad that you did that. And that's why we're here today as well. Do you think that, so you make about 50 to 60 watches a year?
Yes, for this year.
For this year. You're such a small company. You know, I mean, I'm in the industry. I've been in the industry my whole life. I only started hearing about you guys last year. And I consider myself to be very fortunate to be able to be here today interviewing you. So thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. A pleasure.
How do you propose to get the message out about your brand to the rest of the world? What sort of... I mean, I know that there's social media and there's so many different avenues you can take. And, you know, being an independent watchmaker and just by your aesthetic, your design, your conception, it seems like you don't do things conventionally the way, you know, you're not doing what everybody else is doing. You know, I think for you, and please tell me if I'm wrong, that, you know, you first wanted to focus on building the best product you could. And now it's all about sort of marketing it, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's good, and I think it has to be like that to build the things and to try to doing the best things as you can do with the best quality. And to if you have to do, you have to do by the best and to give the best energy to obtain the perfection. That's my vision. But if it's too private and nobody knows about that,
yeah.
You know, a bit at the end, there is no sense.
Right.
And it's a pity because what we do, an enormous quantity of person around the world will be happy to see that.
Sure.
And will be happy to be aware that that level of product is available, is on the market. So it has been the first 10 years was to build, and I was really focused about that, to be able to produce our parts, to doing all of that. But now that's the time that after 10, now the next 10 years is to take care to communicate, because it's a pity that just small group of strong collectors around the world know about us, and I see the reaction when people see about what we do. So now I have to take care about that.
So, I mean, now how many retailers do you have in the U.S.?
For the moment, it's two, and we are looking forward to have maybe between three and five, I think, this year or by the next year. Yeah.
Okay. And do you think that one of the things we discussed too, which I love about you, I was able to sort of get personal with you yesterday, which is not something that, you know, many people would have the opportunity to do. So again, I consider myself very lucky. But you also love music. And I think music is something that helps inspire you.
Yeah.
From what we were discussing when you're working.
Absolutely, you know, all of my life I listened to music, and when I was young, I was at school always. I was a student and listening music behind. So it has been it's a big part of my life, influence, and So I always work with music. I always work with feeling like that. And yeah, it's a important part.
It's an important part. Yes. And I'm sorry that the band stopped at one.
Yeah.
If I could have had them keep
just
playing,
unbelievable,
I would.
In yeah. Vegas, you know. I was surprised about you. You know that.
But next time, I'm taking you to a concert.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And you have to do the same when I come to Switzerland.
For sure. We will do.
Well, we're going dancing tonight, all of us.
But
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And Switzerland is not like Vegas. Vegas is just, wow. It's just a place for...
It is. You haven't even seen wow yet.
I know.
Yes. But it's inspiring to see somebody like yourself, because you've taken something that is so respected and you've taken it to another level. And it's such a... It's such a competitive industry. Everybody's fighting for the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be a successful brand, to be a well-known brand. But there's such a fine line between being successful and being overproduced or not taken seriously. And I like the fact that you have a vision of, when we were discussing last night, over 5 years, making no more than 200 pieces in the collection. Which is still extremely exclusive. If you think about the most exclusive watchmakers in the world making 500 or less, I mean, that's even net by those standards, that's very, very small. And I'm sure you need to have the right partners as well and the right relationships. I mean, will you have distributors as well in different parts of the world, or do you plan on controlling that distribution worldwide?
Yeah, you know, the distribution is not, I think it's not possible for us. That type of product is not with a...
It's too small a production.
Absolutely, yeah. So we work directly with retailers around the world. We work also with agent.
Okay.
And this is a thing that it should be like that, and we will continue like that. So the target will be... We are thinking maybe next year. We were thinking this year, but it's a bit too early. But next year to probably open an office, a showroom in U.S.
Okay.
Yes.
Like a boutique or like a more of
on
an office?
On private appointment. Yeah. It's not going to be on the street.
That's
and,
great.
We are thinking like we do today, thing like that, and to receive collectors with...
private, by appointment only.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. To take time to explain... With a free mind,
what
the
vision
collection.
Is and
exactly.
Everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, what sort of complications are in the pipeline in your head? I mean, obviously, without revealing too much.
Yes.
You know, is there anything that you have in your mind that you're like, I really wish I could do this, or that you haven't done yet? You know, anything that's a case or a. You know, integrating, would you ever integrate like smart technology into your watches?
No.
Thank you. Again, thank you very much.
No, I think there is two separate things. Anyway, if I understand the Connect watches, that I'm not really the most fanatic, but just for a social reason. But I also use Polar to doing sports. So yes, but things has to be separate. You know, what we do is not for the same pleasure, it's not for the same understanding, it's not absolutely not for the same. So it has been, no, a mechanical watch is not to be connected.
What? Exactly, yeah. Exactly. I'm glad you have that philosophy, because it's, you know, people want to, I think a mechanical watch is the most connective, because you actually have to do something to power it. You know, I think... A lot of people want to get away from that, and they want to... I don't need to check my email on my watch or...
Yeah. You know, I also like movies, and if you see all of the movies about the future, and it's always about super technology happens, and what makes the difference with the mechanical things, the people who got the mechanical small machinery to save the world and all of that, you know... If you look at it, it's a bit always that. So technology is a good thing we need. but we have to keep the mechanical things. We have to keep the things that is not controlled by update, by new software every year or something like that. So I know that
mechanical items,
mechanical items will be more and more in the future appreciated, not by the young generation, but by us.
Yeah, and I think we have to set the standard. I think a lot of the kids who grew up today with iPhones and Apple Watches and smart technology, I think they were born with iPhones in their hand, you know? And it's a very different, you know, you and I were not born with that. If you think about it, the calculator watch was essentially what that the smart watch is today, right?
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. You and know, the, if you see the, I remember about the Walkman.
Yeah.
I was really crazy about that.
Yeah.
And with Walkman, you got the feeling with, I was a machine, you know, with a small belt and things and the design and to touch, to open things with metal and different finishing and all of that. Now it's nothing. You just have a small
screen,
teeny things, a screen, and that's it. It's no emotion.
None.
It's nothing. It's just...
It's not interactive,
it's
really.
It's absolutely not the same.
Yep.
For the new generation, I think it is great, but they don't... They didn't know about the Walkman.
Yeah.
And what Sony introduced at that time was just incredible.
Yeah.
And changed completely the world for the people how to listen music.
Yeah.
And this... I'm sad that, you know, that kind of mechanical things is over.
Yeah. And Sony, if you're listening, send whatever Walkmans you have to Romain and to me. No, that I totally agree with you. It's one of those things where we're getting lost in technology. We're not talking to each other.
Yeah.
So take me into the factory. Like, what's the factory like? How big is the factory? How many people do you have working with you?
So today the team is with 17 person.
Okay.
Dedicate on the manufacturing side that we have a ground floor, so 700 square meters to fit everything. So on the ground floor we have all of the facilities and machinery to build the parts, to finish parts, and after that on the first floor is the watchmaking side. And we just moved last year in the new building, and things goes in a good way.
Now, if somebody wanted to, that, you know, a collector that's heard about you wants to tour your factory, is that possible?
Absolutely, for sure.
That's great. That's
absolutely
wonderful.
Yeah.
So it's a very interactive experience. You're letting people into your maison to be able to see how it all works and meet the people that are building it.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. Romain, I want to thank you very much for your time today.
It was a pleasure. I thank you very much, too. And I love to come back to Vegas as soon as possible. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, there we have it, folks. That was my one-on-one interview I did in the end of May with Romain Gauthier, the independent watchmaker from Switzerland. He's a hell of a nice guy, so down to earth, really humble, and just, you know, a hell of a visionary. And he's done incredibly well at such a young age, you know, as a pioneer of his own watch brand. And I wish him nothing but continued success. And I would love to visit his factory one day when I go to Switzerland. So thank you so much, Romain. I'd also like to thank my sponsor, Retrospects at the Cosmopolitan Hotel of Las Vegas. There's no reason to look any further. If you want the best pair of sunglasses, whether it's vintage, whether it's modern, whether it's restoration, whether you want prescription, they do it all. To get 10% off your first purchase and shipping for a limited time anywhere within the U.S., email them at lasvegas@retrospects.com. You can also check out their website at www.retrospects.com. I'd also like to thank Shalboy Music and DJ Flipside for providing the musical tracks to this podcast. If you want to know what's going on with me and the watch industry, please check out my website at www.amitdevhonda.com. You can email me with questions at amitdevhonda@gmail.com. You can check out my Instagram and my Twitter, where my handles are at amitdevhonda. If you want to get caught up with the latest watch news, sign up for my weekly newsletter. The link will be below. And until we meet again, rock on and fly back.